Green Preservation Society. God save Donald Duck, vaudeville and variety. We are the Desperate Dan Appreciation Society. God save strawberry jam and all the different varieties. Preserving the old.
Okay, this is DJ Frederick, and you are listening to the Village Green and New England Music Sampler, featuring a free-form mix of tunes by New England musicians past and present, weaving a mosaic that enlivens our ears and lives. Homegrown music from your neighbors and friends, from the Canadian border to the Village Green.
Appreciation Consortium. God save the George Cross and all those who were.
Music that resonates from the concert hall, the local pub, and down the street. If you have any comments, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is singinggrove@conknet.com. That's singinggrove@conknet.com. And we're going forward with radio the way it's meant to be, lively and local. We're going to start the program off today with two guys named Bud from Vermont, known as the Kind Buds.
Thank you. the heart I miss the most. I've been running coast to coast, and I've been hiding from a ghost. Sick of blocking out the sun, so sick of pleasing everyone. Now that time has come and gone, and that's not to say that I only trust myself. In fact, I love so much that I can never help. There's nothing more for me to say. I'm just living day to day. Mankind doesn't even exist. What is the reason he is pissed? It's living like the world was gone. Distance has always done me wrong. Arm in arm until the dawn. And that's not to say that I only trust myself. In fact, I love so much that I can never help. There's nothing more for me to say. I'm just living day to day. I'll be your needle in the hay. There's nothing more for me to say. I love so much that I can never help. There's nothing more for me to say. I'm just living day to day. I'll be your needle in the hay. There's nothing more for me to say.
That's a gentleman named Bear Connolly who records under the moniker Talking About Commas, and a tune called Needle in the Hay from his CD Sick of Blocking Out the Sun. For more information, you can check him out at www.talkingaboutcommas.com. And before that, we heard the Kind Buds from their CD All in Your Mind, and a great tune called Keep Up, and that's all about time flying by. I certainly experience that as I'm growing older, but I think we all do. It's something that has to do with the relative time period of each day. when put against the number of days we've actually lived on the planet and what our mind is processing. I'm not explaining it well, but they certainly do in the song. This is DJ Frederick, and you're tuned to The Village Green, a New England music sampler. I invite you to check out my very humble, low-tech, homegrown blog at www.villagegreennewengland.blogspot.com. Here's a band from Vermont known as Fragile Zoe. New Hampshire-based DOA, Randy Armstrong and Ken LaRoche, and that was a tune called Zenith. Before that, we heard Fragile Zoe from their CD Frame Problem, and a tune called Big Sig. For more information on Fragile Zoe, you can contact www.fragilezoe.com. This is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to The Village Green, a New England music sampler, program number 14. And part of the homemade radio revolution, still going strong in 2010. For more information, you can check out my blog at www.villagegreenneweengland.blogspot.com. I'm going to close out the show today with something that's a little scarce. This is from a CD called The Good Citizen Soundtrack to the Zine, Volume 3. And it's from the Good Citizen Supply Store in Burlington, Vermont. This is a band called Invisible with the tune Jet Grounded.
Just don't explain it. Your time has been raised, lost in haste. Just don't, 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 don't.
Conservation Society. God save Donald Duck for the little and variety. We are the Desperate Dad Appreciation Society. God save Strawberry Jam and all the different varieties. It's up in the old ways.
Well, hello again, and you're listening to The Village Green, a New England music sampler with DJ Frederick.
What more can we do?
Playing a free-form mix of music by New England musicians past and present, weaving a mosaic that enlivens our ears and our lives. It's homegrown music from your neighbors and friends, from the Canadian border to the New York state line. And you are listening to The Village Green, number 13, recorded in autumn 2010. And I want to do something a little bit different today on the program. We're going to listen to an extended piece by master talesman Odds Bodkin, who resides in Bradford, New Hampshire. We're going to hear a story called Yud Sithra at Heaven's Gate.
Good Sunday morning to you all. The story I have for you is from the tradition of Vedic India. It's from a story called the Mahabharata, or the Mahabharata. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Pearly Gates and Saint Peter. Well, in the Indian mythological tradition, there is also a set of gates. And these gates are atop a mountain called Kailasa. And it is through these gates that one must pass in order to enter heaven. And this is an old story called Yudhishthira at Heaven's Gate. A little bit of background, there are some brothers in this story. They're the famous Pandava brothers. There was Bhima, the strongest man in the world, Arjun, the greatest of all archers, and Yudhishthira, their eldest brother. So, enjoy the story. All my storehouses are filled with wealth. I myself have nothing at all. Old King Yudhishthira stood on his balcony. He looked out across the city of Hastinapur, the city of elephants, the city of stories. He watched the dust rise up as the elephants plodded by. Beyond his garden walls, the dust rose up and became golden in the setting sun. The ginger blossoms in his garden filled the air with perfumes, and yet the old king was troubled. He had received a mysterious letter. He thought it was from his brother Arjuna. It said, Yudhishthira, come to the Silver Mountain. It is time to die. He called his wife Draupadi and said, Draupadi, I've received a letter from Arjun, but I'm not sure if it is Arjun, or perhaps it is Indra, the god of a thousand eyes. But I think my life is over, and I must make the pilgrimage all the way to the mountain. And she looked at him and said, well, you cannot go alone.
Well, I cannot ask you to come with me. It's a long, dangerous journey to the mountain. I will come with you no matter what. You are my husband.
Well, they had been exiles, the two of them, years before, and they knew how to camp. And even though he was the king, he knew he had to go on foot, dressed as a beggar. Although his royal elephants could convey him to the mountain, it was not the tradition. And when a king became too old to govern wisely, he walked as any ordinary pilgrim would to the gates. And so the two of them planned to leave that night, secretly, when suddenly in ran Bhima, one of their brothers. Draupadi was married to all three of them. And he said,
Well, what are you doing? Draupadi, you're getting your clay pot for the fire ready. Are you going somewhere?
Bhima was the strongest man in the world. His eyes were like those of a bull. He had three great creases of fat at his back, and he could turn his body into stone if need be. She looked at him and said,
Bhima, we're going to Kailasa. Yudhishthira wants to enter the gates.
And you're going without me? No, you're not going without me. I will come with you. You could use some strength on your journey. It's dangerous.
Go talk to Yudhishthira.
And so he went and talked to his brother.
You can't go without me. I will come along with you.
You do not have to come on this journey.
I do not have to. I intend to. When do we leave?
And it was then, though, that into the room walked Arjun, the greatest archer in the world. The king looked and said,
Arjun, did you send me the letter about the mountain?
I did not send the letter. You're going?
I am going.
I will come with you. There are lions. There are bears. You need me. My arrows will clear the road for you, my brother.
You do not have to do this.
I intend to do this. And so it was. That night, the three of them stole out of the gates of the city. They stood in the darkness. And just as they were leaving the city, up to them ran a dog. It was wagging its tail. In the dark, they looked down, Draupadi and Bhima and Yudhishthira and Arjun. Yudhishthira said,
go home, dog. Go home.
But what's the matter with you?
I think the dog likes you.
Go home, dog. You're not my dog. Go home.
But the dog wagged its tail and looked at Yudhishthira and would not leave. Well, they needed to make their journey, and so they looked, and finally the king said,
very well, come along. It is your life, not mine.
And so it was they set off. In the light of the moon, they walked until they came to Mother Ganges, flowing in her mighty banks. They took a ferry across the great river, out into the farmlands, and then they walked for hours until, in the depths of the night, they camped. Yudhishthira lay in a grass bed. Draupadi took the little coal that she kept in the tiny clay urn, built a fire, and the dog came and curled up at the small of Yudhishthira's back.
What do you want, dog?
I think this dog likes you, said Arjun. Either that or he is a fool. He's a fool to come with us.
Yes, but he's a nice dog, isn't he? You're a nice dog.
He likes you. What do you think of this dog, Draupadi? What do you think?
He hasn't stolen any food. I like him.
And so the next day, they continued their journey. It wasn't long before the farmlands gave way to deep forests filled with mangrove groves. And as one day they walked into the mangroves in search of food, for they had had none in some days, their initial supply having run out, they found a strange old temple. The temple's walls were covered with the carvings of apes and great old gnarled roots. Across a grassy place, they could see the walls. They walked out into the opening. There, Bhima, walking first, felt something.
Ow! What was that?
Hit his head. And then another one.
Ow! What is that?
There were temple monkeys, and they were laughing, and they were throwing the pits. Ah, Bhima, you make a good target.
Ah, you ow! Ah! Why do they not throw them at you?
Because you make a good target. And he grew angry, Bhima did, and so he went thundering across the green grass, when suddenly he fell into a green scum, and the water came up to beneath his mighty chin. It was duckweed. It was covering quicksand. And before the brothers or Draupi could do anything, they saw his mighty eyes and his great head. Oh! Sink beneath the sand. They ran as fast as they could. They tried to find sticks to put the sticks into the sand to save Bhima, but so heavy was he sank. And they knelt by the edge of the pool of quicksand, and Draupadi began to wail and beat her breast. That night, Arjun looked over toward Yudhishthira and said, "You know, he would have wanted us to continue. You know that." "I know. We will carry on." They said many prayers for Bhima's soul, and the next day their journey continued. The dog continued to follow. It seemed to ask for nothing. It asked for no food, only companionship, and it followed them along. It wasn't long after that they came to a place where the river narrowed into a mighty gorge. They could see waterfalls. They could see red geese, flowers the color of coral, elephants trumpeting and spraying. They walked up into the high cliffs, and the winds began to blow. The ledge grew narrower and narrower. Down below, there were great jagged teeth of water roaring over the stones, and they inched their way along the cliff. First came the dog, then Yudhishthira holding Draupadi's hand, and at last Arjun following along his back to the rock. Arjun looked and said, "No wonder so few enter heaven. The path is so narrow." And he took his foot and struck it on the rock, and all at once, the entire part of the path upon which he stood gave way from the mountain, and he began to fall down, and he called, "No!" Yudhishthira looked down at his brother falling toward the great teeth of water, and he remembered how when they had been young in the garden as princes, training with their weapons master, who was an old man named Drona. Drona had given the bow to Arjun last, but first he had given it to Yudhishthira, and old Drona had said, after he had put a bird made of cloth with feathers high in the top of a tree as a target, he had said, "Aim the bow. Tell me what you see." Bhima had said,
"I see the bird. I see the branch. I see the leaves. I see the sky. Dave, give me that bow."
The old man had taken it away. And then he had given it to another prince. He had given it to Yudhishthira.
"Aim for the target. Tell me what you see."
"Well, master, I see the bird. I see
at the branch. I see a quill. Give me that ball! And the old man had taken it and given it to prince after prince after prince until finally he had given it to Arjun, slender and wise beyond his years, and said, aim at the target. Tell me what you see.
Master, I see nothing. What do you mean? I see nothing but where the arrow will strike the bird.
Loose that arrow! And he had struck it, and in so doing, for his one-pointed concentration, had become the greatest archer in the world. And as his beloved brother fell down toward those teeth of water, Yudhishthira wept, felt his heart explode from his chest, and his wife began to wail and cry, come along, we cannot stay here. And he pulled her away as the ledge widened and they saw their brother no longer. This is a terrible journey. This is a terrible journey. Draupadi was inconsolable. She sat on the rocks and wept for 2 days. But at last, they knew they needed to finish their journey. And so, they made their way toward what they could see in the distance, the mountain itself. It was swirled about with clouds filled with lightning and eternal mist. Snows deepened as they made their way up toward the gates of heaven. The dog hopped through the snow, but Draupadi began to grow weaker and weaker, and she said, I don't think I can go any further. Yudhishthira! No, look, 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 it's just there. It's just there. This way! But she could not carry on any longer, and in the thin snow where the rocks could still be piled, she fell to her knees. No, 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 get up, get up. I can go no further, Yudhishthira. And he held her in his arms, and he felt the little petal that was her life fall from the branches of the tree of life. And she too was gone. And the old king wept. And for 2 days by her body he remained until he piled a cairn of stones about her. And then, with the dog, he looked up through the snows toward the gates. The dog hopped along behind him, the snows deepened. Come, dog! Come, dog! Thunder roared about them. At last, they came up to the gates of heaven. Why, they were made of gold with gems the size of horses sunken in the mighty walls. And Yudhishthira knew that there the mighty gatekeeper of heaven, Indra, the god of 1,000 eyes, would either permit him entry or send him back to life. And so he walked up to the gates and the mighty gates opened wide, and out stepped the immense god, who looked down and said,
Yudhishthira, welcome. We have expected you.
Yudhishthira could see through the gates as the snow swirled around him. There were pools, palm trees, warm breezes, the celestial city itself.
Come in!
Before I come in, I have to ask you, Indra. I lost my wife. I lost my brothers on this terrible journey. Where are they? I cannot enter, not knowing where they are.
The mighty god swung his hand about and said,
they are already in the celestial city.
And he pointed, and there Judistra saw Bhima smiling, Draupadi waving, and Arjun leaning on his bow. Overjoyed, the old king made his way toward the gates.
Come, Doc. Come, Doc, we are finished with this life.
And the dog began to follow him through the gates when all at once, down came the hand of Indra.
There are no dogs allowed in the celestial city. Leave the dog. Come inside.
All his life, Judistra had lived by three principles: to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, and to shelter those with no homes. He looked up at Indra.
What? But I, this dog has been my faithful friend on this terrible journey. I cannot leave him out here. He needs me.
There are no dogs allowed. It is unclean. Come in, Judistra. Leave the dog.
He looked down at his faithful friend.
I cannot do this.
You would refuse to enter heaven for a dog.
Come, Doc. We will go home.
The king turned in the snows. They howled about him. As he looked down at the dog, suddenly the dog began to shake, and its skin began to split in tiny threads of blue light. What is this? The dog shuddered, and the skin split open and fell away, and celestial light poured out across the snow. What is this? And suddenly up rose Dharma, the god of justice, Judistra's own heavenly father. For there had never been a dog at all. And his father looked at his son with great pride. Indra looked down and said,
Judistra, you are indeed the man we were told to expect. Come in.
And so, into the gates of heaven walked Judistra, ending his days, reunited with his loved ones.
You've been listening to the masterful storytelling of Odds Bodkin from New Hampshire. For more information, you can check out www.oddsbodkin.net. This is DJ Frederick with the Village Green and New England Music Sampler. I do hope that you will check out my low-tech blog at www.villagegreennewengland.blogspot.com for playlists, links, and more. And I want to remind you to support local artists, local farms, and local businesses. It's what feeds our souls and our communities. I'm going to end the program today with a very cool and humorous song by Bill Harley. This is The Size of the State of Rhode Island.
There's an iceberg afloat in Botany Bay, the size of the state of Rhode Island. There's a hole in the ozone that won't go away, size of the state of Rhode Island. There's a forest fire raging out in Montana, a tropical storm just off of Havana. They just found the world's biggest banana, the size of the state of Rhode Island. There's a swath of the rainforest clear cut each day. Everyone,
the size of the state of Rhode Island.
There's an asteroid circling close by us, they say,
the size of the state of Rhode Island.
There's a caribou were heard that I saw on TV. And General Motors has a new SUV. And Donald Trump's ego is set now to be
the size of the state of Rhode Island.
If there were a prize for comparing little Rhodey would win it. We know all about it, cause hey, we're here in it. And driving across it takes 45 minutes. That's
the size of the state of Rhode Island.
People ask me, Bill, how big is Rhode Island? Well, I'm glad you asked. Rhode Island's the size of a spreading oil spill
off of the coast of Bahia.
Rhode Island's the size of a giant landfill
somewhere in the Crimea.
It's the size of a ranch on the West Texas plains, the size of a cave in the south part of Spain. Just how big is that, you ask? We will explain.
It's the size of the state of Rhode Island.
Now it may annoy you and cause you despair, but they use little Rhodey by which to compare. But if we weren't here, then they'd use Delaware, cause it's
the size of the state of Rhode Island.
There's a baker in Omaha that just made a pie
the size of the state of Rhode Island.
There's a plasma screen TV that you ought to buy
the size of the state of Rhode Island.
There's a red tide rising and making a stink. A fungus is growing in my bathroom sink. And this song is over, so I need a drink.
The size of the state of Rhode Island.
Welcome to a 1 minute scene review. A look at freedom of expression in the alternative press. Mo Bostern is the creator of Extra Tough, an expansive feat of journalism exploring her chosen vocation of fishing in Alaska. Issue number 3, for example, includes an explanation of the art of beach seining and recounts a season she spent netting fish. Mo opens up her world with vivid writing and transports readers to scenarios she paints in print. Mo even includes an homage to environmentalist author Rachel Carson in this issue. Issue number 3 is profusely illustrated and is a generous 80-plus pages. Extra Tough is available from Mo at P.O. Box 6834, Portland, Oregon 97228, or from microcosmpublishing.com. I'll review more issues of Extra Tough in future editions of this broadcast. I'm DJ Frederick, exploring the medium of zines with a 1 minute zine review.